Greetings, and God bless you again. We do pray that old-time blessing upon you, that God will bless your heart, and especially that he'll use you for his service. Make a real witness out of you. Now, in Luke 19:17, God's word says, Jesus said unto the faithful servant, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, he didn't say good and successful servant. He said good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, I will make thee ruler over many. You know, the world famous preacher Dr. Jowett made this comment. People who are faithful in that which is least wear very radiant crowns. They're the people who are great in little tasks. They win triumphs amid small irritations. They are scrupulous in the rutty roads of drudgery. They are as loyal wearing aprons in the kitchen as if they were purple and fine linen in the visible presence of a king. They finish the most obscure bit of work as if it were to be displayed before an assembled heaven by whom is the Lord of light and glory. Great souls are those who are faithful in that which is least. I was reading today about Moses, so faithful in tending sheep on the backside of the desert, but God was watching. And he seemed to be a nobody then, a sheep herder. But there it was that he learned humility and how he learned how to become a nobody. But mark it, in that place of obscurity where he was a nobody is right where God spoke to him and chose him to become a great leader for the next 40 years. God made him, as our scripture says, ruler over many. He was faithful in the small place and in the little things. You know, maybe you feel that you're a nobody, just a sheep tender. And I know of many mother with, sometimes with a college education, now tending a flock of little ones feels sometimes that she's just a nobody and hidden away in the home. But remember this scripture, Luke 19:17. That if you're faithful in the little things, he'll make you ruler over many. Now, the words very little in this verse, it's very little. It says, faithful over very little things. Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, Jesus knew that there's more self-sacrifice in little things than in the great, because there's no glory from the world in these little hidden places. So if you belong to that large group of hidden, humble people who don't despise your small place, but you do every little thing is unto the Lord, not unto men. Your reward will be greater than all those that receive the glory of the world and the praise of men. Now remember that verse. That's a wonderful verse out of God's word. That your service is unto the Lord and not unto men. And notice in your Bible how many times God stoops down and uses little people. It's most remarkable when you go to study it. There was a little maid in the house of Naaman who was instrumental in Naaman's healing. There was a little servant that later warned Naaman that if God had asked him to do some great thing, he would have done it. You remember the story, don't you? These were not Naaman's or Elijah's, but they were the ones chosen by God to trigger the great event that took place with Naaman and with Elijah. They are the ones that, as the world would say, started the ball rolling. Of course, we do not mean little people in God's sight or little people from the Christian standpoint, but just little nobodies in the world's sight. You've known some of them, those hidden lives, so little seen or heard. Oh, how God loves these humble ones. He stoops down and lifts up to your notice the widow's mite and the cup of cold water and Mary's box of spikenard and the lad with the loaves and fishes. And just so you do what you have to do for the glory of God, it makes no difference how little it is. He'll take it and bring the mighty increase. As his word says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. That's what makes it big in the end. Someone has said, if you can't do big things, then do little things in a big way by doing them in God's spirit. in His name and for His glory, and they'll surely be big things then. You know, some of the greatest sermons I've ever heard have fallen from the lips of unknown, obscure people. And some of the sweetest prayers you'll ever hear will fall from the lips, not of some great pulpiteer, but from the unknown saint in the Wednesday night prayer meeting, or the dear old grandmother at the bedside of some suffering one. Oh, I've heard these prayers that have gone straight to my heart, these humble ones. You know, if God's going to use you for some greater task in the future, this is the schooling He'll put you through. That is the humble, insignificant task, the unseen, the unheard. For it's there that you develop the capacity for greatness. He'll doubtless also add trials and testings to take the pride out of you and bring you to the place of humility where He can use you. I found a sweet little poem today that blessed my heart when I was reading about second fiddles. Someone written, I don't know who wrote that, but it said to play the part of the second fiddle. That's the secondary place, a humble place. It's necessary for harmony and life, but it's most difficult in the instrument to play. It's hard to play second fiddle. One of the tragic loves of which the believer may be guilty is that characterized by one we read about, He loveth to have the preeminence among you. That's from God's word. He loveth to have the preeminence among you. One of the outstanding characteristics of Andrew was that he graciously took the place of second fiddle to his brother. Who hasn't heard of Martin Luther? But not many know about Philip Melanchthon, his great second fiddle. You know, I heard Ernie Ford say one time, whenever you see a bushel of apples, remember it takes a lot of little apples to hold up the big ones on top. That's true in life, isn't it? We do not all have the place of public notice, but we're just as essential to presenting a worthwhile witness to the world. Now, I'm talking about these second fiddles tonight, these who play second fiddle. And it's there that sometimes you learn to play first fiddle. Elisha was a servant of Elijah, taking care of his bodily comforts. But when Elijah was taken to heaven, Elisha became the prophet of the Lord then. So was Mark, whose service for Paul and Barnabas was very much like the service of a valet, but later he was fit for the ministry. The Lord used him to bring us the second gospel. The clear teaching of God's word is, to him that hath shall more be given. If God's choice for you is a place of unseen and unnoticed service, do let the knowledge that He takes notice of your humble place, let that be your comfort. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Though you feel so hidden and so in the background today, oh, we just pray that you'll be faithful in that sphere that He's given. For God's word says He divides to everyone severally as He will. You feel that you can do so little for the Lord and your life is so insignificant because you are of little and you think you're of little use. I want to impress you that the greatest, largest, most important work in all the world is open to you. That's the ministry of prayer. Looked upon by the worldling as insignificant, yet in exercising this greatest power in all the universe, God could not give you a greater place. This is which is littlest in the sight of the world is grandest in God's sight, and it's at your command. And you're to bow your head to God's commands. This is which is littlest in the sight of the world, I say, is greatest in God's sight. And this place is at your command. You can have it. Not many people want it. In His word, God Himself says He looked and found no intercessor. Do you feel the world's needs today? Do you hear the cries for help and comfort? Do you have compassion on a sinner and his emptiness and misery without Christ? Oh, put your ear to the bosom of Mother Earth and listen to the tread of shackled feet held in godless oppression. If you really care, pray. In Luke 4:18, Jesus says, He has sent me to release captives, to deliver the oppressed, who are downtrodden, the bruised, the crushed, broken down by calamity. So many of these that the Lord is speaking of. By prayer, you can help set these free, lift burdens, and bring Christ to a bewildered, frustrated, sin-stricken world. There's a big place for you, a really great place. And it's open to you. If you're bedridden as an invalid, if you're helpless in a wheelchair, oh, if you're one of the aged ones in an old folks' home, Even the dying in their hours on borrowed time can pray. What a great minister can be yours. Someone's waiting for your prayers now. Let's bow our head and have just a wee word of prayer. Father God, we do thank Thee for these that care about others. These that are so interested in the stricken, the suffering, the sinful, that they do take time out to pray. And we know, Lord, that You never ask of us a service so complete that leaves no time for resting at Thy feet. And this waiting ad of expectation, You count a service most complete. And so, Lord, we ask Thee to lay the minister of intercession upon these that feel that their lives count so little, that they have such a small place. And we pray that Thou will lead into a place of prayer many because of this little suggestion in our prayers. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you indeed. He's still on the throne, and prayer does change things.